Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. But when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." The word of our God. We looked at this text about the birth of Moses about 6 years ago. And at that time, we looked at the message from the standpoint of the mother of Moses, her decisions, her willingness to become the other mother. We also looked at this passage last year for Liberation Sunday and looked at the migration aspects in the story. But today I want to look at this same story from a different perspective. And I'm entitling this sermon, A Mother's Day Ride By. One of my neighbors is pregnant with her second child, and she's probably about 8 months into her pregnancy. The other week, I heard a commotion outside of my house. When I went to investigate, I noticed that there were about 10 cars lined up on the block. The cars were decorated with signs and blue balloons. And I called my wife and said, "Come and see this drive-by parade." And she came, my neighbor, her husband, and other family members came out onto the driveway. And as they stood there, each car drove by, honking, yelling congratulations, and waving signs. Some even stopped, got out, and gave gifts to the couple. It was a drive-by baby shower. And so because of shelter-in-place orders and social distancing, many folk have had to be creative about celebrating birthdays, about special occasions, and about other events. Our member, Vina Coleman, had a birthday drive-by last week. Somebody I know very well had a drive-by parade as he asked the love of his life for her hand in marriage. It is good to see family and friends work to make the best of a difficult situation. We've heard of drive-bys, but prior to this coronavirus situation, they usually meant something bad. And we've turned drive-bys into something positive for family and friends, and that's a good thing. And I thought about drive-by occasions when I revisited our text for today. The text begins with the decision and actions of Moses' mother. You see, Moses' mother can no longer allow her baby boy to shelter in place. His life hangs in the balance. And so listen to the text. Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. So Moses' mother places him in a homemade basket and sets the basket among the reeds in the Nile River. As the currents of the river move the basket along, the baby Moses takes a ride along the Nile. This isn't a drive-by, it's a ride-by. Now I could say drive-by because you see there is an unseen driver guiding this basket down the river. And this unseen driver takes Moses on the first Uber ride down the Nile River. So I call this a Mother's Day ride-by because Moses' mother initiates a ride that allows another woman to become a mother. You see, Pharaoh's daughter is bathing in the Nile River when Moses comes riding by. You never know, beloved, when destiny will come riding by. And this becomes Mother's Day for the daughter of Pharaoh. It's sad that the narrator doesn't mention the name of Pharaoh's daughter. We know the name of Moses' biological mother. Her name is Jochebed. We know the name of Moses' older sister. Her name is Miriam. These are two women who figure prominently in the story. But this becomes Mother's Day for the unnamed daughter of Pharaoh.
All right.
But beloved, her part in the story is powerful and compelling. And that's why I wanted to look at this story from the perspective of Pharaoh's daughter. The first thing that we notice in the story is her compassionate choice. Listen to what happens in verses 5 through 8. The text says, "Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. 'This is one of the Hebrew babies,' she said. Then his sister, that's Miriam, asked Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?' 'Yes, go,' she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother." Now that's intriguing. We've looked at that before. But as Pharaoh's daughter sees this baby, she has compassion on this child. You have to understand that as Pharaoh's daughter, she has access to all the comforts and resources of power. She is a princess. She has servants and attendants. She has all the material things she desires. She doesn't need to curry favor with Hebrew slaves. The Bible says she opened the basket, saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. This is one of the Hebrew babies. So Pharaoh's daughter feels compassion for the baby and by extension for the mother of the baby. I tell you, you don't often find women in power and women with resources demonstrating the kind of compassion that this daughter of Pharaoh demonstrates. She could have sent the baby away. She could have had the baby killed. But instead, her heart is filled with compassion and concern for this baby, and she chooses on that day to become the baby's adoptive mother. She chooses to take in this slave child, so a ride-by turns into an adoption. Look at that. I know that this could have been a calculated ride-by. I know it was calculated since one of the slaves is Moses' sister. Perhaps Moses' mother and his sister planned this encounter. Perhaps this is not a chance encounter, but a calculated ride-by. But that might be the case. But we cannot dismiss the compassionate choice of Pharaoh's daughter. She is under no obligation to take in this baby. She feels compassion and chooses to adopt Moses. I tell you, beloved, if you don't try, you never know what will happen. Moses' mother and Miriam tried something, and look, they found a compassionate friend in the daughter of Pharaoh. Adoptive and foster mothers don't often get the credit they deserve. Some women never bear children biologically. They can go through life without the burden and responsibility of rearing children, But instead, they choose to be mothers. Many women choose to be mothers. Many women choose adoption. Many women choose to foster children, and they don't always get the credit. Some adoptive mothers are presented with children they didn't expect. It's just that through sometimes difficult circumstances, women find themselves parenting other children. And some of these mothers didn't go through the legal channels. They just took the babies in. And many became mothers because they didn't want the children to be placed in the foster care system. They didn't want the children to be abandoned. And beloved, taking in children is expensive, it is complicated, and it is sometimes disruptive. And many women have reared their own children, but find themselves later in life rearing more children, even rearing their children's children. Many adoptive and foster mothers do it without the resources that Pharaoh's daughter enjoyed. They don't have wealth on their side. They're using their social security checks and their pension checks to take care of their grandchildren and great-grandchildren. So today we honor the compassionate choices of women who choose to mother children and choose to take them in. So we notice her compassionate choice, but another thing we notice about Pharaoh's daughter is her defiance of Pharaoh's decree. Because Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me. I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. Pharaoh established a decree to exterminate male Hebrew babies. In Exodus chapter 1, the Bible says, "Then Pharaoh commanded all his people, 'Every boy that is born to the Hebrews you shall throw into the Nile, but you shall let every girl live.'" Now that's pretty clear. It is a decree that everyone is aware of, especially the folk in Pharaoh's household. Pharaoh's daughter knows about it because she instantly recognizes that this baby belongs to a Hebrew mother. And on top of that, the baby is in the very river that should be his death chamber. Many male babies have already been tossed into the Nile. And Pharaoh's daughter has no excuse. She can simply take the baby out of the basket and toss it into the bloody river. But she defies her father's own decree. Yeah. One scholar suggests that maybe her bathing in the Nile is itself an act of defiance. Maybe she says, "I'm going to go and bathe in the very waters where my father is carrying out his death plans." Pharaoh's daughter tells Moses' own biological mother, who has cleverly been summoned by his sister Miriam, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." Look at God. Not only does Pharaoh's daughter defy his decree under his roof, she also uses his money to pay for the child care. We cannot discount the tremendous risk this adoptive mother takes. She goes beyond the call of duty to defy her own father's decree. Pharaoh's daughter teaches a powerful lesson. There are some laws you must resist, and some laws you must defy, because some laws are simply unjust. The Hebrew midwives know about defying unjust laws. They are instructed to kill the male babies, but the Bible says the midwives feared God, and they did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but they let the boys live, because these women are guided by a higher principle, and that is faith above decrees. So we honor the daughter of Pharaoh because she defies her father's deadly decree. In the book, Sacred Bond, Black Men and Their Mothers, written by James McBride, Chas Guest talks about the defiance of his mother, Algertha Guest. And listen to what he writes. He says, "When my mother bought the duplex where she now lives, the neighborhood was going down. The projects opened up across the street, and there were gangs, drug traffic, and garbage on the street. My mother would go out there and say, 'You all are animals. Why do you throw trash on the street? I'm going to call the people to give you a fine.' And she'd call and they'd get a fine. And if somebody drove by with their boom box blasting, she would say, turn that music down. People live on this block. I guess she treated everybody like they were her children and would say, and if you don't behave, I'm going to call the cops. She didn't care if people liked her. She didn't care if people threatened her. We always told her, if you're going to call the cops on the drug dealers, don't give them your name. And then she would say, okay. And she'd dial 911, go right ahead and say, hello, this is Algertha Guest, and I want to report some drug dealers. She got people in City Hall to pay attention to the area, and now they patrol the place, and all the cops know Algertha. Where would we be, beloved, without the tenacity and defiance of mothers who stood up for their children? Where would we be without the mothers who, in the face of tremendous opposition, stood defiantly and advocated for their children? I tell you, there's nothing like a determined and defiant mama who stands on the corner with her children behind her back saying, you better not touch my children. And if you're going to come to my children, you've got to come through me. And I've heard many mothers say, over my dead body. And you looked in their faces and knew they meant it. So on this Mother's Day, on the Nile River, the river, the daughter of Pharaoh defies her father's decree and becomes a mother. But there is one more compelling thing about this woman that is beneath the surface, but undergirds everything she does. And that is her dedication to preserving life. The Bible says, so the woman, meaning Moses' own mother, took the baby and nursed him. And when the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, I drew him out of the water. Pharaoh's daughter bathed in a river with the enshrouded tombs of male babies. When life rolled by in an Uber basket, God presented her with the choice, choose life or choose death. And Pharaoh's daughter chose life. Unlike her father, she is more interested in preserving life than in destroying life. Pixley says, even in the den of death, allies of life are found. Even before this woman adopts Moses, Pharaoh's daughter has the spirit of a real mother. Because real mothers always work to preserve the lives of their children. Pharaoh's daughter makes sure that sufficient provisions are in place for Moses to grow, to thrive, and to survive. A real mother make sure her babies are well fed, cared for, and safe. They will go to great lengths, even risk their personal well-being to protect and defend their children. Pharaoh's daughter is not a Hebrew, but she shares the values of Hebrew women, that life comes from God and that life belongs to God. So we thank God for mothers who are committed to the preservation of life for their children and for their families. This coronavirus situation has taken a toll on medical professionals. And I just heard the other day there's an ER doctor in New York City who has been treating COVID-19 patients for 7 weeks straight.
All right.
This doctor is also a mother. She has a 14-month-old child. And because she's working each day with coronavirus patients, she has chosen to self-isolate from her family and her baby. She has not held or touched her baby for 7 weeks. She goes by the house, greets her little child outside the window, and in the video they show the baby reaching, touching the window, and crying. It's heartbreaking. But it's a sacrifice for this mother because she's willing to make this sacrifice to preserve the life of her child. She works to care for others, but her motherly instinct drives her to do what is best for her own child. What a sacrifice, beloved. Mothers do everything they can to preserve the lives of their children. Thank God for our mothers. A baby rides by in a basket. A woman becomes a mother that day. Moses is rescued. Moses' mother is rescued. And Moses gains another mother. Pharaoh's daughter becomes his adoptive mother. In the African American community, it is usually grandmothers who are the adoptive mothers. Now, they don't always go through a legal process. They just take in their grandbabies. I want to give a special shout out to all the grandmothers out there, to all the big mamas out there, to all of the grandmothers who, after retiring and after growing old, decided to take in their grandchildren and say to their grandchildren, you got a place to stay. You got somebody who loves you, and you've got somebody who cares about you. In honor of my late maternal grandmother, Marilla Mims Jones, a good wife, a great mother, and a loving grandmother, let me end with the words of a great man, the late, great Bill Withers, who died this year. You remember that song he wrote, Ain't No Sunshine When She's Gone? And that other song, Lean On Me. But I want to end with his song about his grandmother, entitled Grandma's Hands. Grandma's hands clapped in church on Sunday morning. Grandma's hands played a tambourine so well. Grandma's hands used to issue out a warning. She'd say, Billy, don't you run so fast. Might fall on a piece of glass. Might be snakes there in that grass. Grandma's hands. Grandma's hands soothe a local unwed mother. Grandma's hands used to ache sometimes and swell. Grandma's hands used to lift her face and tell her, she'd say, baby, grandma understands that you really love that man. Put yourself in Jesus' hands. Grandma's hands. Grandma's hands used to hand me a piece of candy. Grandma's hands pick me up each time I fell. Grandma's hands, boy, they really come in handy. She'd say, Maddie, don't you whip that boy. What you want to spank him for? He didn't drop no apple core. But I don't have grandma anymore. If I get to heaven, I'll look for grandma's hands. God bless you, beloved, and happy Mother's Day. And whether your mother has been with you your entire life, she's your biological mother, or whether she's an adoptive mother or a foster mother, and she's given her life to choose you, thank God for your mother. And we extend the invitation to Christ. We invite you to come to him by faith. God is the only one who can show us what it really means to be a mother, because God loves us unconditionally. And he has given us Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ has given his life for our sin. And all you need to do is to receive him by faith. Ask him to come into your heart. You can make this a special Mother's Day. You can call your mom and say, I found Jesus today. And he will come in and he will give you brand new life. We extend the invitation as we sing. We offer Christ to you. Beloved, have a blessed day.